نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد معدن الجود والكرم اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وآله البالغ اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وآله وصحبه وبارك وسلم أما
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the universe, this dunya, this world, the whole universe Allah ta'ala has created. Not just one world, alameen, all the worlds, universe. Allah knows better how many worlds there are, galaxies, how much different variety, forms of creation, where they are and how they are. That is all within the knowledge of Allah. And all the forms of creation there are, whatever there is that Allah Ta'ala has created, from all of that, most of all, the unique superior creation that Allah Ta'ala created is insan, human being, me, you. This is such a creation that when Allah created it, then the angels were also taken aback that what is Allah Ta'ala creating? They couldn't understand that what is this creation? That with the soil, the clay, it's being formed, created, being sent to a weird place. What is this really? What is it Allah Ta'ala? What is it Allah's manufactured here? That's me and you, us. Tell me. We don't even know about ourselves. The angels are taken aback, surprised. They were surprised. Allah says, nothing to be surprised, but rather prostrate to this creation, Allah said. This is such a creation Allah Ta'ala made. Because Allah Ta'ala wanted to give a great task to this creation, to me, to you. When we say makhluk, don't look back over your shoulder. It's me, you, us. We think that maybe someone's behind us or somewhere else that Allah Ta'ala has given this to. That, for example, if we say you're not insan and we are animals, then me and you are free from this. But yes, if we consider ourselves included amongst human beings, then it's me. Brothers, why should I think about you? It's addressing me. What a unique thing Allah Ta'ala created me. Allah created me. Tell me. From where Allah created me, how He created my parents, Allah Ta'ala created my mother, and inside my mother some matter, my father, everyone's gone, somebody's passed away here, somebody's passed away somebody, or somebody's buried here, somebody's buried there. We don't even know where we are. We don't know where Allah Ta'ala is going to put us into the soil. And every man is a history that Allah Ta'ala has created. Everyone, if you sit down to write your history, then such unique and weird things will happen, this to me during my life. Everyone is a unique story. And this story book will be opened. It's not going to be hidden. That whether you print it or not, publicize it or not, but this kitab is being printed. And it will be printed in such a way that will be so shocked that every single breath will be written, included in that kitab. That in your heart you were thinking this. Then your heart you had this thought. So Allah has created this makhluk, human beings, a big task Allah wanted to give. Allah wanted to test the human being with something. Allah wanted to see, determine. And Allah has given all of this to us, this task, this duty. And further, all of creation Allah made and gave the test. And Allah said, if somebody passes this test and returns, subhanAllah. Allah says that the people will pass this test, the place that I've made for them, that's something to see really, that is Jannah, paradise. So why was paradise made actually? Let's think about it. Who was paradise made for? It wasn't made for the angels, was it? For the malaika. Allah created the paradise for the insan, those humans who will pass the test and return. Tell me, imagine what is that paradise? Think for a moment, think. We can't even think about it. We can't even get our thoughts near to it. What is paradise? That's where we have to go. Say inshallah. That's our destination. That's our end point. That's our headquarters. That's our base where Allah Ta'ala wants to raise us, where we should go after being successful. So tell me how much we should try to get that success. What is the issue? Allah Ta'ala has created us. And He's given us a duty, a task, that you do this task, Allah says. I've created you. Just one duty I've given to you, Allah says. Just one duty. If you carry that duty out, then Jannah is yours, Allah says. SubhanAllah. Everything is yours. Forever and evermore, Allah says, I won't test you again. I won't ask you anything again. Everything will be according to your desire. Whatever you want, you will get there. You will get. It will be on your desire. Paradise. That's it. All of your desires that you can imagine, unlimited, untold desires. Allah says, keep on taking. After how many days? Just a few days, my friends left. Just a few days, after a few days. We created, we came out, we got out, we're gone, and wedding, it's gone. All of these phases of life. So what time is there left now for me and you? Tell me. We're just going close to that time, the end point. So have we done that action until now? The duty have we carried out? I always request and say that this gathering is a gathering of dhikr, majlis of dhikr, the gathering of the awli Allah, and then we discuss points like this. Discussion is like this, this gathering, so that we can improve ourselves, something's lacking, we can fill the gap. There's no other objective of this gathering. Look at what we're lacking, let's analyze ourselves, what's devoid in our lives, what's missing in our lives, the time we've wasted, we should regret that I've made a big mistake. And what's lacking, the gap, let's fill the gap. Then there's the benefit of this majlis. There's no benefit of this gathering. We're just sitting and talking and chatting and nothing else if we don't benefit. So one job, one task Allah has given to us, that you need to carry out that task, and everything depends on that task, that duty. Now we have left that task, that duty, and many other tasks we've taken a hold of in our lives. Because we've got life in front of us, isn't it? To live. Lots of jobs to do, actions to do. Get up in the morning, I've got to do this action, that action, do this. Thousands of distresses and issues are running after us every day. Yes, a short time period, morning, wake up, eyes open, 10, 11 a.m., get ready. And then the sun sets even 5, 6 o'clock, and there's everyone running around in the world. There's noise, clamor, preparing food, what to wear, women for food, cooking, this and that, which has no relationship with the task that Allah has created us for. Say subhanAllah. But, Allah is Kareem. We're all wasters and time wasters and wasting our time. We're doing no action related to our unique duty. Why is this? Because why is that desire there? Because this is the test. Allah says, this is our test in this world. Test is that, the challenge, when you are given a difficulty placed in front of you, and to cross that difficulty, overcome that difficulty to attain the objective, that's called a test. The Quran says, وَلَا نَبْلُوَ لَكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوِ وَنَقْسٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ. SubhanAllah. This is what the Quran says. So many tests Allah has mentioned here specifically. This you have to cross this bridge, you have to, this will come, this hurdle will come, this obstacle will come, this barrier will come. All these restrictions in front of that duty task for which I've sent you to planet Earth. Whoever crosses that, overcomes those hurdles, he is successful. Oh, if you're hungry, where will Allah not prepare food for us? Of course. We should prepare. Should we not do this action? Do it, because all the actions there to be done, but they have no relationship with the specific unique duty that Allah Ta'ala has given to us. But Allah is Kareem, He says that if you do that task of ibadah, then all the time waste actions that you also do, I will include those in ibadah as well. Subhanallah. What a great thing. Allah says everything will be included. Even the minor things. If you don't do that bigger task though, you don't do the unique task, and then the wasteful things that you do, that all the ibadah that you carried on doing, listen to this point here. Those actions that you considered as worship, and you pass the time, Allah says, I didn't tell you about those actions. I didn't tell you that was your task. I didn't point that out. That you were running after salah, fasting, hajj, zakah, all these actions that you carried on doing, Allah says, do it. But if that unique task you don't implement that I've sent you for, then all these other actions you're doing will be a waste of time. You will not attain anything. These salahs will be picked up and thrown back in your face. The fast will be picked up and thrown back on your face. Look, there are two things, they're opposite. If you do that unique task, then even the wasteful actions that you pass your time in the world trying to run after, to acquire for your stomach, even those Allah Ta'ala says, I will make them into ibadah, worship. Loving children, loving your wife, loving your offspring, for all things, wasteful things, they're not necessity. Allah says, even that will become ibadah, worship. And if you don't do that unique duty I've sent you for, then the ibadah you've done as well, on top of that, Allah says, they'll be thrown in your face, you won't acquire anything. The real objective is not, you understand now, is that unique task, objective. The duty Allah has given to us. Who has to do that? Who? Who has to carry that out? Tell me. Whoever wants to do that, raise your hands. Very good, very good. Everyone has to. Each individual has to, isn't it? Yes. Okay, so what's that action Allah has given to us? Because we have to do it. So tell me, my friends, what is that unique action that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, each and every one of us? Does anyone know? We have to do the action. We're ready to do it. And we've come to this gathering for that. And ask you, tell me the action. And you, no one's told you until now. You don't even know what is the action. How will you know then? How will you learn? Hasn't anyone told you what is the action? It looks like it's the first time I'm telling you then. Before this, hasn't anybody told you in your life what you must do? What do you listen to? Speeches and wa'az and all of this. What is the meaning of all this that you listen to then? Speeches. If you don't have this task in your understanding until now, the action, then everything else is a waste of time. Isn't it, brother? Yes. Tell me, am I right or am I wrong? Tell me. If you don't know the unique task, there's a big gathering, there's a speech, conference, lecture, and nobody knows what to do. Waste of time, that gathering. Waste of time. So what is that specific task? Action. Allah Ta'ala Himself in the Quran has prescribed it. Told us. In the Quran, Allah explicitly explained it. Shall I tell you? If I tell you, will you do the action from today? Solid promise. Well, you are doing that action, mashallah. You don't know, but I've made you start the action. I've put you onto that line. Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. But I'm just reminding you a little bit, what is the action? I've enabled you, I've established you with the fadl of Allah, with the grace of Allah on that path. It's not that you're not doing it, you started it, you've established it, you started it on that journey. But I'm just giving you a bit more further awakening and realization so you can work hard on this path. That action is خَلَقُ الْجِنَّةِ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ Allah says in the Quran. That I have created insan and jinn. Jinn are also with us, isn't it? The jinnat, they're with us. They sat with you, you don't know. They come to listen to dhikr, they sit in the dhikr. The jinnat, yes, totally. They are just like us. They're just the difference is that they are created from a different matter. We're created from different matter, but the situation is the same. They get married, they also sit in dhikr, they also Muslims. And they also have different religions, they do magic, they do different things, just like we do. They live a life, they are creation, they're such a makhluk that we cannot see them. But they take benefit from us, the jinnat. The jinnat, the good jinns, they zikr here, they come to zikr, they sit in the zikr. They sit in the majlis with a lot of fervor, passion, they come to the gathering. And they remember Allah. They say, oh, there's zikr there, let's go there today. They have a love, just like we do. We love the zikr of Allah. They also the same, because they need it. Do they not need Jannah? The Quran was revealed for them as well. So for them, Allah says, khalaqul jinna illa al-insa, that Allah Ta'ala has created the human and the jinns. So is jinn as well, they do the same things, they have a life. So what did Allah say? Why did I create you? Just like I said to you, there's one task. What was that task? There's one task Allah Ta'ala said, isn't it? Illa. No other task. Liya'budun. Liya'budun. Allah says, this is a word, fantastic word. Allah's friends, the awliya Allah, have done beautiful explanation, translation, explanation of this word. And I'm presenting that. Illa liya'budun. What does this mean? Connection ma'Allah. Relationship ma'Allah. This is liya'budun. Illa liya'budun. You understand what I'm saying? Is it hard Urdu I've just said? Connection with Allah. Ta'alluq ma'Allah. To be with Allah. That create a connection, strong one with Allah Ta'ala. That's it. That's the task we've been given. Now, do you understand what I'm saying? No other task we have in life. No other duty. Just one job we have to do. Allah says, I'm sending you on planet Earth. I'm sending you to the dunya. Thousands of hurdles will stand in front of you. Thousands of obstacles will come in between you and this task that they won't allow you to create a connection with me. Allah says, this is what we see today. What else? What's the argument today? Shaitan and us, his clash with us is nothing else but this. He'll make you pray salah. He'll make you keep the fast. He'll make you do hajj. He'll make you do umrah. But one task he won't let you do. What? That he won't let you be connected to Allah. He'll make you pray salah. But such a salah he won't allow you to pray that will introduce you to Allah. Say subhanallah. Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't understand what I'm saying? Yes. Remember this what I'm saying. Remember this. Shaitan will make you pray salah. But see which salah he's making you pray. If in that salah you are making a connection with Allah, then it is salah. That's the key point here. Every salah is not salah. Every namaz is not salah. Every fast is not a fast in reality. Every umrah is not an umrah in reality. No. That ibadah, that worship which connects you to Allah and makes you make a connection with Allah, Allah, that equals ibadah. That khalaqal jinna wal insa illa liya'budun. Do you understand now? Now is this the correct translation? Explanation? You don't understand what I'm saying? Look at this point. These are the explanations of the walis of Allah. The meaning hasn't changed. And mashallah, we have established the meaning. So in other words, you prayed salah. I've prayed, yes. Oh, he's very pious. Pious, piety is that piety that connects you to Allah. Remember this. That person is namazi, that through his salah, he's established a connection with Allah. In the same way, you can take every action and keep multiplying and applying the same principle. Otherwise, there's no weight in the action. That action that doesn't create an established connection with Allah has no value, no ibadah, no worship, nothing. It's just a habit, that salah. That the hajjud is a habit. That fasting has become a habit. That umrah have become just a tradition. Yeah, just coming and going. The enjoyment is this, that you see the Kaaba with that vision, due to the connection with Allah. That is the umrah then in reality. That's why Allah Ta'ala said, just hajj is once is enough. Do such a hajj that is the hajj during which you have the connection with Allah and you have that feeling, that emotion, that connection with your Lord. Then if your heart feels, Allah says, don't worry. No worries, you have no need to come here. I will make you do hajj right there where you are physically, no need. This is ta'alluq ma'Allah, connection with Allah direct. Yes, Muhazzam Mujaddad al-Afthani, you've read it, heard it. He couldn't go to Baytullah. He was occupied. He was occupied to create a connection with Allah. And he wanted to create the connection. I'm talking about the Wali Allah here. Muhazzam Mujaddad al-Afthani. Did he not have a desire like us to go Hajj? There he sat once in Maraqaba. He said, aha, Allah, he had a deep sigh. Allah, I couldn't even see your home. Your home. That my preparation was even to that capability. And he was thinking about his maqam, his status. Allah said, why do you worry, Mujaddad? Right there where you are, I will enable you to do hajj. When he opened his eyes, the Kaaba was present in front of him on the land. It's in his maktubat, his writings. This is karamat. Allah Ta'ala gave him that karamat, that miracle. Yeah, you can complain and criticize, doesn't make any difference, but the people of the hearts, they know, even right now on the earth, the Kaaba's effect is there on the earth, in Sarhand Sharif, you can see that. Yes, that place is present. The Allah Ta'ala has kept the history there, the quality of the Kaaba is there. Why? Because Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, to His that person, that wali Allah, who has the desire for Allah, he had the connection with Allah, then he becomes like the moon and the stars in the sky, and he is so enlightened that he doesn't shine. Rather, his effect makes other people shine and sparkle and glow. He doesn't give anything to people, rather he makes them shine themselves. Until Qiyamah, due to his light, people seek the path and acquire the truth. SubhanAllah. You see the Hazrat Data Ganj Baksh, people recite his name, don't they remember him? Hazrat Khwaja Mohinuddin Chushti, Rahmatullahi, Hazrat Baqi Billah, people mention their names, don't they? After all these years, Hazrat Khwaja Rahmatullahi, and the people say their names. Why? Because they have to remember the names, because they are stars and moons through which the dunya is taking the first blessings even today, centuries after. Why was this light made? Why did it exist? Was there anything special about them? Because they understood their task, their work, they attained their objective. What did they become? Hazrat Ali Murtaza was made them due to them. In Bolton, his star is sparkling in Bolton. Is he not telling me? He's giving the light. Such a light he's giving that is amazing. People are proud, envious of that light. They're still emanating them. In such a place he has revived the sunnah. What lovers he has created on such an earth due to that light. It's not a minor thing, is it, to wear imamah here? Yes, yes. We wear it. We're not aware of it. But on the day of judgment, you'll see the reward you get. And our holy prophet, our beloved prophet, they will be so happy with the people following his example. You can imagine that how much pride and happiness Rasulullah feels when somebody wears the imam, comes out on this land. You cannot imagine. He is so proud. I'm talking about the walis of Allah, Sahib al-Kashf. They say, Fakhriya, that Rasulullah announced amongst his friends that look where my sunnah is being revived and practiced. Where this person is implementing my sunnah. Fakhriya, says Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Verbally, who's made this? Ali Murtaza, my sheikh, his fairs has allowed us to do this on this earth, this land. Why? Because they created ta'alluq ma'Allah, connection with Allah for the sake of Allah, nothing else. Not that they prayed lengthy salahs, as a Khwaja Mawlidun Chisti prayed the salah, same salah that we pray. Everything's the same, their life. They used to recite the same Alhamdulillah, Surah Fatiha, Atayyat, same salah, same Quran they recited. But what's the difference? Ta'alluq ma'Allah, they had a connection direct with their Lord. They understood their objective for which Allah Ta'ala created them. They understood that this is my task, my duty. I need to fulfill this duty. Say SubhanAllah. So this is the maqsad, our objective of life, my friends, women folk, men folk, children, same. Eating food, chapatis, running around, you see the whole world is eating. Those who believe, disbelieve, all eat and drink. What's unique about that? Does Allah stop anyone? Even those who don't believe, they eat more. Rather, they are feeding you as well. The social security they give to you, you're eating theirs and sitting here. Who else are we eating from? They're free of charge. So brothers, this thing Allah Ta'ala says himself, I'm Rahman, my affairs is spread out in the world, all of this is my creation. You give to ants and to pigeons, I give to spiders, I give to the snakes and the scorpions, I give to the poisonous creatures. So will I not give to the human being to eat? But you are so stupid, human being, that for the sake of your stomach, the time I gave you in the world to fulfill this duty, look here. Allah says, the time I've allotted to you in life to create a connection with your Lord, the time is unique. Someone gets 50 years, someone gets 40 years, someone gets 80 years, someone gets 100 years, someone gets 120 years, someone gets 10 years, someone gets 15 years. Different time spans Allah gives to different human beings. Why is it different? Here's a question. Allah's hikmah, Allah's decision. SubhanAllah, that's it. Imam Shafi, they died after 40 years. How old was he? 40 years. And what he attained, Imam Shafi, imagine the work he got out. Fiqh, jurisprudence, hadith. How old was he in that short time span? And how old are we now? Our beards, we color them, we go crazy, but we still don't do the work. Yeah, we're making the beauty, coloring our beards. No one leaves the makeup. Let me hide all the wrinkles. Let me look a young man. I want to get married again. Let me keep on thinking I'm good looking and running after what I want in the dunya. But don't want to do the real task Allah has given to me. Greed doesn't go, our desires don't go, our wants don't go, our needs don't go. Keep on increasing, keep on increasing. And if somebody asks me, what's my desire? I'll present this. I want this. I want this to happen. I want this to go on in my life. I want to get this. I want this to my children to be this. No one knows mad people, stupid people, or for what reason Allah has created you. All of this will become dust and soil. Your 40, 50 years will finish. And maybe you got 15 years left. Maybe you got 4 years left. Maybe you got 2 years left. But if you couldn't achieve your objective, fulfill your task, what was that? Your grave will become dust and the spiders will consume your flesh and you'll go towards Jahannam. And without any objective, is there a life of a person without an objective? Where's that food, drink, everything will finish in a second, in a minute. Oh, wake up, wake up, wake up. Death is very near, my friends. Death is very near, very near. Don't waste time in games. Allah says, Lahu lahab. Allah said in the Quran, it's a games and tricks. This dunya is just a joyful dunya. Like you're going to the shopping center. You know, I used to go to buy. When my grandmother said to me when I was a child, go to the shops and get this, this, this. She gave a list to my grandmother. When the way we used to go, you know, there was a magician on the way, a clown, and we'd stand there and stop there and look at the clown, the magician playing his tricks and games, and then. For example, when you go back, we'd be told off. Why did you take so long? Why didn't you do what we told you to do? Same as our situation in the world. We are stuck in the games and the trickery of doing it. There's trickery here and games here and magic here. Just finish all of that. Come out of the nets and the traps and run after your one objective. Ta'alluq ma'Allah, connection solely with your Lord. That's the objective. Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't understand what I'm saying. Do you understand our objective of life? No, if I say to somebody, raise your hands, whoever says that he wants to create connection with Allah, then I'll raise my hands first because I've got that connection, I need that connection. Does everyone claim that they've got a connection with Allah? Will we try and get the objective or not? But we're not doing it. But we're not doing it. Why? The test. We're in that test. The challenge. So what is the test now? That this is the real question I'm telling you, so we can come out of the deception in our lives. Because if the person comes out of deception, why? How can you say you've got connection with Allah? No, from morning till evening I pray my 5 salahs in the masjid. This is not connection with Allah. My thing is a bit different, my friends. Listen attentively to what I'm saying. What does it mean different? Not that I'm presenting a new thing to you. No, according to the Quran and Hadith I'm speaking to you. But in a style I'm explaining to you so you can listen, understand carefully, because I'm a modern sheikh, Western sheikh. Yes, so in that Western way, modern way I'll explain to you. You don't understand what I'm saying? So this is cut now. This reason we give that we have a connection with Allah. What proof are you presenting that you've got a connection with Allah? Oh, I've done Umrah and come back. And then I'm going again soon to Umrah. Then in Ramadan I've got to go Umrah again. And this many days I'm going to say, then drink the Zamzam. And I'm going to touch the Kaaba and kiss the Kaaba. And I went to the Rawda Mubarak, to the holy fence, the Rawda Mubarak. This is not connection with Allah. Say Subhanallah. So are we now cool and calm now? But no, I recite so much Quran, I've done this, I've done hifz, memorized the Quran. No, connection with Allah. This is not connection with Allah. These are ibadat, worship Allah has given to us. These are means. What are these? These are means that to create a connection with Allah. But Allah says you can through these create a connection. You can say Subhanallah. What are these? Resources. Tools, means through which you can create a connection, but there's no guarantee that through these you have made that connection. Say Subhanallah. No guarantee. Very fine point I'm making here. Through these actions, ibadat, you can create a connection. Possible, they are wasila, but they're not the objective of life. You can't attain the objective, they're wasila, they're a means, they're a road. What do? That through the resources, we say, oh, we've grabbed it, I've attained my objective, I've passed the test. What a big deception shaitan's given to us. And he never passes the test because he's in that trap and he's made to feel deluded. Oh, I passed the test, I've done this action, I've done this worship, I've got a connection with Allah, I'm pious. Rather, that he's using those wasila still on the journey. He's still using those wasila on the journey. He hasn't passed the test. He hasn't tested himself. Have I got to the end point, yes or no? That same test today I'm going to present to you, my friends, the real crux of the matter. Clear what I'm saying a little bit? Do you understand what I'm saying? So how much shaitan has deceived us and he's Finishing people off. People saying, no, he's a haji. Oh, he was a namazi. Oh, he was a good person. He was this, he was that. But Allah Ta'ala says, for me? Yes, so he kept on using those resources in a serious way to think that he's attained the objective. But it doesn't create that connection with Allah. Okay, he's prayed salah, kept the fast, done hajj. 100% first class, good actions he's done. But through those resources, did he establish the connection with Allah? Give the proof of that. Did he have the connection with Allah? Did he maintain it? The proof of that, I'll explain what it is. Shall I tell you? Or will the Quran tell us? The Quran will tell us, I can't explain to anything. So the connection with Allah, the person who has the connection with Allah, what does the Quran say? That Allah says clearly in the Quran. Is this not the verse? This is the verse, isn't it? That Allah Ta'ala says, I am closer to you than your jugular vein, isn't it? I'm closer to you than your jugular vein. Tell me, is this not the verse of the Quran? So now, tell me, those who pray salah, who worship, everyone who sat here, all explain to me that the Quran has said, wherever you are in the world, Allah says, I'm with you. I'm with you. So this is the connection with Allah. This is the connection with Allah that Allah Ta'ala is mentioning here. Do we have this emotion? Say Subhanallah. Do we have this emotion? Tell me, anybody, where have your salahs gone then? In your pocket? Where have your hajj gone, your umrah gone? Subhanallah. So, that through your salah, have you got this connection with Allah? And through your any hajj or fasting, have you made this connection? That Allah Ta'ala says, that for you and me, do we have this feeling, emotion, constant? That Allah is looking at me. That Allah is looking at me. He's watching me. He's assessing me. If you have this feeling, my friends, listen to one thing I'm saying. Then you are successful there and then. If you've established this feeling that this is our connection with Allah. And for this connection Allah created me. That your connection with your Lord should be like this. That Allah, every moment is there in front of you. Next to you. This is my task. This is your job. This is my job to create that emotion constantly. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, so not eating chapatis is our job. Allah says, this is your job. And when you make this, when you fulfill this job, then all the other actions in your life, your eating, drinking, sleeping, everything will become ibadah for you. Everything. One thing Allah Ta'ala says, that every action of yours, I will make ibadah. You went to sleep, fine, worship. The enjoyment in your life, everything you did, correct. All of that, I will transform into ibadah. Through that, I'll give you jannah, the hoors and the palaces, Allah says. Yes, all the time you spent with your wife was ibadah for you. The children you were with, that was your ibadah. The amount of time you slept was your ibadah. Subhanallah. Why? Because all of that of yours that was happening, what was happening? That Allah says in the Quran, it was all done in that emotion that you felt Allah is next to me, in front of me, and I am next to Allah. Do you understand this point now? So this is the task Allah has given to us. Now here again I will say that, oh yes, I've got a connection with Allah. I've got this, I'll say this, won't I? That I have got this right connection with Allah. Allah's looking at me. I know Allah's watching me. I'm aware that Allah's watching me. There's a reason for this. If you create this emotion and feeling, then what does a person do? Subhanallah. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, let me explain to you an event. Yes, because he's my father, isn't it? Hazrat Umar Farooq. I'll give you a story of my father, my forefather, Hazrat Umar Farooq. He was Amir al-Mu'mineen of his time. And the half of the world he ruled, how much? Half of the world his rule was, his khilafat. Here, just one country, small, they break into three, there's fasad beyond fasad, but Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu's kingdom, his rule, leadership was across half the world, but there was peace beyond peace, bliss. Even a dog wouldn't go to sleep thirsty. Even the dog would look towards Umar, that why has my thirst not been quenched? And Umar said, I am responsible even for the dog, that in my rule in Khilafat, it's my responsibility. A dog shouldn't go to sleep thirsty. And today, don't we want this? Today, if we want aman, peace in our country, through what? Through politics. Through politics. Through games and through money, through wealth, through oil, through wealth, through gold. The more gold, the more peace, the more bliss, the more this, economy, global economy, trade, transactions. This is our system, isn't it? But subhanAllah, reality, the method for peace, they told us, our forefathers. What is that method? The reality, the source of peace, the method to bring peace is to create the connection with Allah. Create the connection with Allah. They had the strong connection with Allah. Our pious elders, they had arrived to their objective. So there was peace beyond peace. There was no facade, no fighting, no quarreling. You don't understand what I'm saying? So Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, he was the Amir al-Mu'mineen, commander of the believers. And there was peace. And what was his daily occupation? In the night he would wake up and go trekking around, assessing, analyzing. What's going on? Has anyone got pain? Anyone is? Any got distress anywhere? Anything lacking in someone's life? Imagine those people. That to give time to Allah for the worship, to give time to the makhluk creation. Imagine this lifestyle. Big rule across a vast lands. But when they had connection with Allah, subhanAllah. On that maqam, that Allah's Nabi said that if there was any prophet after me, all the Sahaba, imagine the status. The Prophet said, if there was a prophet to come after me, then all of the Sahaba, the person that I can see, it could have been Umar that was capable of that. Imagine his status as Umar. And what's he doing? Yes? He didn't become a king. Didn't become a king, a sultan. Rather, he gave himself up. And he's walking and he's assessing, and he saw that there was a room in like a mud shack. There were women speaking in the house, and loudly they're speaking, and he saw, oh, there's something going wrong here, some issue here, and he stopped there outside. Yeah? He stopped. He had some high volume speaking dialogue. Not spying. He wasn't spying. He was concerned. In a term, because he was fulfilling his duty, responsibility. There's some distress here, some problem here. No spying. He wasn't a tajassus. He wanted to assist. So he stopped. He saw two women were speaking. One was a mother, one was a daughter. Mother was saying to the daughter, her daughter in the house, that there's not enough milk. And we need to complete everything. We don't have enough resources. So put some water into this milk so we can earn enough income. So there'll be more milk. Visibly, we'll earn more income. So this is common nowadays, isn't it? To put the water into the milk. And that this much milk is just milk, isn't it? And we'll put some more water in it, dilute it, and we'll sell it to the people, and we'll get what we need. So she's giving the advice to the daughter, Mashwara, that put some water into the milk and sell it. And we'll sell it in the morning, we'll earn some more income, revenue. It's haram, isn't it, to do this? We know. So, as Umar was listening carefully, what's happening here? Let's see what was now. Such a big statement, within the rule of Umar. And then the daughter said, mother, don't you know the Amir al-Mu'mineen was his order? Amir al-Mu'mineen? How dare you, if anyone does an action like this, that you dilute something, don't put water into these, don't dilute your matter. The hukum of Amir al-Mu'mineen, order, how can we put water into the milk? The daughter is saying, this is how do these children get born in houses? Remember this as well. Such children to be born into a house, into a family, when does that occur? So the mother said, Amir al-Mu'mineen has said this, but where's Amir al-Mu'mineen stood here that you are talking about him? He sat there somewhere relaxing. He's not stood here, is he? And he's listening to everything. He's listening outside, everything. She said, where is he here to hear what you're saying? Just put the water in. Why are you falling into this trap? Don't worry about it, she said, the mother. She said, is it? Mom, Mother Amirul Mumineen isn't here, but Amirul Mumineen's Rabb is looking at us, isn't he? Allah. He's not looking at Amirul Mumineen, but his Lord, Allah is watching. I'm not putting water in the milk. I'm not going to put water in the milk. That's it. Amirul Mumineen, his hair stood on end. Hazrat Umar. Oh, Amirul Mumineen, to hear this, amazing. That girl, she'd achieved everything. Straight he went in the morning. And he inquired about that family. He looked here and there. He wanted to join the families. When he saw everything's fine, assessed, then he arrived to his wife, took his wife, said, come with me, that I want to find, I found the partner for my son. Let's go and ask their permission. And she said, where are you going to take me to see, to find the wife for your son? Because he's the Amir. Where are we going to go? Said his wife. Which place? That for your son, where are we going to find the wife for our son? So they went through the streets, alleyways, to that broken down house. They arrived there, they said, what's this? He said, this is the home. The partner for our son. They went inside. And they were amazed. Amirul Mumineen has come. They're upset, worried. He said, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. He said, they didn't know the story behind it, did they? He said, the point is this, that we've come to ask you for something. She said, Hukum, please order us, Amir. We have nothing at home. What can I give to you? Said the mother. He said, please don't say no. His wife said, don't say no. That we have come to request your daughter to be wed to our son. Say, Subhanallah. Imagine the history. So, they accepted. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu's son, his marriage was with that girl. So when there's such a rich, then imagine the children that they have, that are born in the family. The child has Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmatullah alayhi, who is the fifth Khalifa amongst the Khulafa Rashidin. Some have said included such a great status. He was born into that family, the next generation. So what was it that Hazrat Umar demonstrated there? That this girl, what she achieved, that she had created the connection. She had attained her objective for which she was created. She had made it that status of her life that Allah is with her all the time. She was aware. So I've explained to you. Do you understand now? So that person who has this special quality within him, that he prays salah, he does umrah, he does hajj, he does recitation of the Quran, he does hifz, he memorizes Quran, he does zikr, he does zikr, he does mujahidat, he sits in the khanqa. Inside that person, if he develops this emotion that Allah is with me, next to me, Allah is watching me always, he's developed that quality, in no way or form can he ever disobey Allah, ever, that person. Tell me, have we developed that quality? Then where is our salah gone? Now listen, my Hazrat Sahib, what did he say? My Shaykh. What unique Shaykh I had. What a brilliant Shaykh. Today, first time I'm telling you this. Right now, it's not ready-made discussion. It's not ready-made, not prepared. Today, I remember that statement of my Shaykh and my tears come out of my eye when I remember what a great Shaykh was my teacher. He wrote to me a statement and I didn't understand. He said, remember one thing, he said, that if you are disliking the sins, if you are leaving the sins, this emotion is developing in you, then your dhikr is successful. Otherwise, your dhikr is not successful. Whether, even if after dhikr you're doing kashf, you're doing dreams, miracles, karamat, whatever, this is not related to dhikrullah. There's only one connection, that with this ibad of dhikr you need to attain one end result, ta'alluq ma'allah, connection with Allah, that Allah is with you, watching you. Whenever the time comes for disobedience, when Allah starts to test you through an action, what should there be? The question doesn't arise, Allah's watching me, I can't do this thing. That person to give his life will become so easy that you see for that person. He'll say, no, my life, my end, but I'm not going to do this wrong action. The life, he says, is a waste of time. Because Allah has stood there, Allah is there in front of me, when Allah is next to me. And if Allah says that your life should go, then will you not give your life? Tell me, if Allah is in front of you and says, and can you commit a theft? Can you commit a sin at that time? Can you do adultery, zina, or bad action? Because your Rabb, your Lord's in front of you. So why did that girl not do the action? She said no. That if Umar is not here, but his Rabb, his Lord is here, he's watching me. And she knew that Allah's way, she had arrived to that characteristic, that quality. So it can never be that a person, that he has developed this feeling and condition inside him, that Allah is watching me, I'm next to Allah, he's close to me, the jugular vein. أَقْرُبُ إِلَيْهِمْ, that Allah says, I'm closer to you than your jugular vein. Yes, Allah, my Lord is close to me. Then my own self, the Quran is saying this. We read the Quran. So then why don't we believe in the Quran? If Allah is closer to us than our jugular vein, Allah is watching us, looking at us, then how can you, my brothers, how can we commit sins? How can we steal? How can we commit fraud? How can we deceive? How can we make somebody angry? How can we consume haram? How can we discard the sunnah? We know that Allah Ta'ala has ordered this. Praise Salah. Allah has ordered or not? And that time you will pray, but you won't do it. You say, oh, Allah's not here, or we'll do it afterwards. Or everyone leaves Salah. Why can't I leave Salah if everybody else is leaving Salah? What difference is it? Oh, we'll see afterwards what happens. Yes, people say, so you say, oh, it's alright. Oh, I'm feeling sleepy. I can't pray. Drowsy, and he's enjoying it. Subhanallah. Can it be a person's watching Allah's and a person's disobeying Allah? The cure? Look, step by step I explain everything. So now let's come to the cure. Cure for the problem. Because Allah has given the cure. If we are lacking this, then there's a cure. Yes. So, this is a verse of the Quran. Allah says, this is the cure. Do dhikr, my remembrance. Why, my brothers? What is Allah saying here? Allah has given order to those who have iman, belief. Ya ayyuhalladheena amanu dhkurullaha dhikran kathira. Not to somebody who's disobedient. Not to a munafiq, hypocrite. Not to a person who has no iman. So the biggest proof becomes this, that if Allah is ordering the people of iman, then how much favor Allah is giving to that person at that time. What great love Allah has. Allah speaking with affection and love when He's giving such a big reward. Most definitely it's a big, big action Allah is giving to His believers, isn't it? If Allah is addressing us in the beginning and giving to us a gift. That Allah, if He loves somebody, has affection, Allah with affection is addressing the people of man. That, oh, you who believe, those who believe in me. Allah is saying with such love and affection in the Quran, until Qiyamah these words will continue to be repeated. Though that person who believes Allah, if only we were those who believe in Allah. That word person who believes in Allah, ask him what is his desire. He never feels that he leaves this statement. That Allah is addressing me in this verse. Allah is speaking to me. A person who has iman inside him, believe the tears come out of his eyes when he reads this verse. Allah is calling me due to my iman. Subhanallah, the Quran is addressing me, speaking to me, Allah speaking to me. There are so many veils between us and Allah. We're reading the Quran, Allah's addressing us, and we don't even know what's going on. Yes? Oh, the Quran's for Taraweeh, we memorized it. I taught my son the Quran, and he'll recite, everyone will be happy and congratulate us in Taraweeh. We think the Quran's for this. Nobody's read Quran with this niyyah that I want to create the connection with Allah. What a big difference in all our actions. Yes, interview everybody. From 100, you won't even find one that my son, I educated him in the Quran so he can create a connection with Allah somehow. No, thousands of different examples where no one will say this. He'll recite Taraweeh, Mubarak, congratulations, Khatam Quran, this, drama, and status, title, just learning Quran for the sake of it. All these ibadat, worship, all of them, my brothers, are for one purpose, so we can create a connection, relationship with Allah. All of this Allah has given for this reason. I swear by Allah that if you teach your Quran for the child Quran for this reason, that I want my child to learn the Quran, my child, so you can create the connection with Allah, that Allah is with you all the time. For this objective I teach you Quran, look how the Quran will have the effect on that child. Then Allah assists such people, my brothers. Allah assists. Allah will help and his heart will open up that child. Yes, Allah will open up the heart of that person. But me, us, we just do it for other reasons. We want praise. We want people to recognize us and respect us. Obviously, This is such a Quran. The Quran is of honor and respect. If the Quran comes into that person, obviously we feel like giving salam, we will respect that person. But Allah, does He respect that person or not? It's our duty, we must. He's a half-faced scholar, will stand there, love that person, Mawlana Sahib. Respect them due to the Quran deen. But the question arises here, does that person have the connection with Allah or no? Don't look at our respect we're giving to the learned people. That if we stand there with respect, don't look at us. Don't measure your success on the respect we give you. Maybe we're deceiving you, say Subhanallah. Maybe we're deceiving. Maybe we're amongst the shaitan. Hafiz sahab's come, Qari sahab's come, Mawlana sahab's come. We stand there straight backs. That's a demand. They're demanding that respect us. This is demanded, isn't it? Yes. Isn't it? It's also demanded nowadays. Respect us, give us honor. Directly, indirectly, messages come. They come. We do that. Amna swadakna. We should do. It's their right. It's their haq. But you think at the same time, the person, why shouldn't we respect you? Of course we will. We consider you a right. Hafiz, alim, scholar, qari. You have a great connection. You're respectful for us. You're honorable. Your shoes are on our heads. We should give that respect. But think for a second. What is your connection with Allah, my brothers? What is your connection? Such people. Don't worry about us, public. Am I right or am I wrong? Tell me. Am I right or am I wrong? You're not taking bad what I'm saying, are you? Yeah? Hey, this is the situation, though, in reality. So, the people of dhikr, those who do dhikr, Allah says, dhikr is not the objective. Dhikr is not the objective. Dhikr is a means that is allowing you to get to the destination. The objective is connection with Allah. And if that dhikr doesn't give you connection with Allah, then it's also a waste. That's why Allah Ta'ala says, the cure for this is one. If you want to attain my nearness, you want to develop that quality in this world, you want to leave this world successful, these hurdles will come in front of us to make us fail. Those nafs and shaitan and greed will make us pray salah and all worship. But you want to allow us to make a connection with Allah. What's that emotion? That is very easy to determine. That when it's time for you to sin, then say, no, no, Allah will be upset, I'll leave the sin. Immediately, Jannah will open up at that time. Immediately. وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِهِ جَنَّتَانِ. Allah says, that person who's scared of me, is Allah not saying this in the Quran? He who fears me, not one Jannah, Jannatan, two paradise I'll give to that person. Double. Is this not the case? Yes, because see, he's got the fear. No, Allah, I can see Allah's watching me. I'm aware Allah's near to me. I don't think Allah's far from me. Allah says, why do you think I'm far from you? I'm closer to you than your jugular vein. I'm next to you. Why do you make me far from you? Allah says, and we are such shaitan, we make Allah far so we can sin. We make Allah far. Why do we make Allah far from us? So we can sin. We can enjoy in the world, dunya, and do banditry and criminal actions, so we make Allah far from us. But those who want to love Allah, they don't make Allah far from them. They say, no, no, it cannot be. Allah is not far from me. He is near to me, next to me. To develop this emotion condition, you can develop this. You can enable yourself. Yes? Otherwise, all our pious elders, pious predecessors, how did they become? They were successful on this. All the walis of Allah became successful due to this one point. They created that, developed that emotion. They said, impossible that we do wrong. Allah is near to us. They developed that. It's not hard what I'm explaining to you today. Is it hard to understand? This is the crux of the matter. Have you received the message? Now what we need to see is that we're working so hard physically in the world, mujahidat. So what's the cure Allah Ta'ala has given to this? When will you develop this emotion and feeling? Through no ibadah, worship action. No, only one ibadah Allah has given to develop this emotion condition. What is that? Dhikrullah. One ibadah, worship. One action. Task to develop this. So that's why Allah Ta'ala says, why is Allah says in the Quran, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu dhkuru Allaha dhikran kathira. Kathira. Allah Ta'ala says, hukam, instruction, do dhikr kathir, abundance. What need does Allah have for our abundance of dhikr? Why does Allah need? Na'uzubillah, does Allah enjoy? Will Allah's status increase? Astaghfirullah, will Allah be praised more than He needs to be or less? Oh, can we ever praise Allah? Can our tongues praise Allah? Are they worthy? Most definitely, this is not the situation. No way. So there's another reason. Yes, Allah is Akbar, was, is, and always will be Akbar. So we can't increase Allah's status. We can't glorify Allah Ta'ala. We're not worthy of it through his dhikr. So if this is the case and we believe that, then we're not increasing Allah's status and greatness. It's not for Allah's sake. So really it's for us. If it's for us, then what's the benefit of dhikr? The benefit is there. So why don't we do dhikr then? Why don't we do it then? Why is Allah said kathir? Why is Allah prescribed kathir? This reason that your test is severe in the world, my servants, is severe tests and challenges in the world that will obstruct you from your objective. That's why I've told you, Allah says, each and every one of you, every second, there's a hadith in Tirmidhi. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that the greatest action there is, the greatest afzal is dhikrullah. Dhikrullah. Because it develops that emotion, that feeling, that awareness. That's why it's told to us that there's a ruh of everything. Wherever with dhikr you want to attain success, through dhikr, all your salah will be accepted, your hajj will be accepted, your umrah will be accepted. All of your hifz and Quran teachings, ilm, knowledge, everything accepted. Those darajat you will acquire, the alim, the hafiz, all darajat you will acquire. One by one, one by one. So the dhikr of Allah allows you to reach the heights. Allah Ta'ala doesn't get any benefit from your dhikr. That time and time Allah says, do my dhikr, do my dhikr, do my dhikr. It's for our benefit. So why do we say wali Allah, friend of Allah? Second question. Yes, that you won't see anything else in the life of a wali Allah. The friend of Allah, you will just see the effects of dhikrullah in his life. That's why Allah's Rasul Sallam said himself, that what's the sign of the friend of Allah? This is Aisha Sadiqa was asked, that when you see the wali Allah, you remember Allah. That's the key sign. You remember dhikr of Allah. What time is dhikr? When? Where? Dhikr, 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 dhikr. That's what he says. Say subhanallah. Wherever you see this madness in a majlis, then they are all walis of Allah in that gathering. Because they have no other task. The Allah Ta'ala selected them. These people have been selected. And the amazing thing is Allah says, those who I select and give them darajat from their hearts, then I eliminate that feeling that they consider themselves to be nothing at all. They consider that each and every one of them thinks he's a waster. They're ashamed. Yeah, please, please, don't. No, no, I'm not a good person. They hide away. Let's hide and do dhikr. Oh, let me go there. Oh, let me go there. Here's a jalsa here. I don't want to sit amongst too much crowd. They have an inferiority complex always. Subhanallah. Imagine the shan Allah's glory, that the more Allah Ta'ala increases a person, the more he demotes himself in the dunya. This hadith. Allah's Nabi says, he told us a dua. He taught us a dua. A supplication. Yes. He taught us a supplication. This is not the supplication that Allah, in your eyes, Allah, allow me to demote myself. And the dhakir always demotes himself. That, yeah, I'm the worst from the human beings. Maybe I'm the sinful. I'm committing sins, doing wrong. I don't know. Am I something? Am I doing anything good? Others say, mashallah, look at other people. They're doing this and that. There's speeches, conferences, khatam. But I'm sad at the back. Say subhanallah. But there, Allah says, what do you know that what really this person or these people are? Allah says, I know better. What Allah made Ali Murtaza, and what Ali Murtaza made, what a qawm, what a people. Do we believe this or not? Yes. We accept this. Keep on working, my friends, and your preparation will take you to the heights. You have gone so far ahead of people of Bolton. Look at this. That's why it says, join to this silsala, join to this silsala, time is short. Someone's got this many years. Do something if you're going to do in life, at least now. You will get the path Allah has prescribed. Through that you will get success. Through that. What's that path? You cannot get from any other place apart from dhikrullah. And dhikr you can't get unless you are joined with the wali Allah. The path of success you will get only through dhikr of Allah. And you can only get dhikr of Allah through a wali Allah. And the wali Allah will tell you what dhikr suits you. How much you should do. How you should do it. Say subhanallah. The rest are all tests, barriers, obstacles. Many. Don't be scared. Don't be afraid. Ups and downs Allah will take you through. Allah will show you the challenge. Shaitan will come. Oh, you do dhikr as well. Or you do this as well. Never fail. Don't worry. You'll get many issues. Ups and downs, because Jannah is being constructed. Jannah is being constructed. That person who gets scared and upset and down due to the distresses, then he's not a man at all. He's not a man at all. Don't step back. Don't turn back. Just some moment, time left. Understand, we have connected with Allah. Dunya is nothing. Nothing to worry. I need to get close to Allah. Yes? So all of your tasks become easy. Allah makes easy for you. You have no need to say anything. You don't need to regress anything. You just carry on doing your work. And if Allah puts you into a test, a challenge, then don't worry, don't fear, don't shake. You don't need to do dua even. Allah says Himself, Allah's Nabi said, the people who do dhikr, they don't need to supplicate. Without the supplication, Allah says, I give to you. You don't even need to physically put your hands up. فَاذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. Allah says, you carry on doing your work and I know what your needs are. I'll fulfill your needs. The rest, the requirements of the world, the dunya, mad people, Allah says, I know more than you through your remembrance what you need. You don't need to tell me what you need. If you are telling me I need X, Y, Z, A, B, C, that's not enough. Allah says, you're stupid. I know you need more than this. I know everything that you need. You don't need to worry at all. I'll give to you because you have made the connection with Allah. But because we don't have a connection with Allah, we don't know our needs, we don't know how to ask Allah, and we just keep saying we want this and this and this. Do you understand today what I'm saying? My message, has it come to you? Do you understand? So we waste our time. Yaar, pray to Ruqa, I'll get this, do this, and I'll do this, I'll get this. Oh, mad people, don't do nothing at all. Just keep doing dhikrullah, dhikrullah, everything will come to you automatically. That's it. Just keep doing your work. If it's delaying, not delaying, very good. Because it's Allah's hikmah. Allah delays, extends it, it's His choice, doesn't give you straight away. Look, once you're on the line of the deen, yes, for example, tonight you've made the intention, that's it, 100% I've understood the message today, I want to attain Allah's nearness, I want a connection with Allah, to attain that connection, what action do I need to do? Then whenever there's a sin being committed, I get scared that Allah's watching me. That's it. That's the standard that should come in my life. If that standard I keep in my life, this is the highest standard. وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَنْ قَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانَ. That person arrives to that level that you're getting two jannah on every action. Then the test will come to you once you make the niyyah. Oh, here comes fraud. Here comes deceit. Allah's watching. Totally. Just like Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, he witnessed that she became his daughter-in-law. The action she did, imagine the maqam she had attained, imagine her daraja, her level. As Umar radiallahu anhu's daughter-in-law she became. How great a family she entered into, tell me. From where she went to. Just the milk, it was just milk in it. Yes, and the mother said, just put water in there, we can sell and eat and drink. And there the paradise opened for her. Who? Has Umar bin Abdul Aziz, Umar Thani, came into that family. What was the action she did? Just that she was afraid of Allah. She had fear of Allah. So in the dunya, if she had two jannah, then will she not see the jannah in the hereafter? That you get angry and you want to do this and break this. No, Allah is watching me. Chup, silence, subhanallah. Allah says, subhanallah. Don't you want to make this standard? For this, what hard work do we need to do? Kathirun dhikr. What I've told you to do. Dhikr kathir. Abundance, high quantity. Immerse yourself to attain this condition. All mujahidat, hard work, khanqas, sheikhs, walis of Allah, everything there is to attain this objective. The summary of what I've told you, what? The connection with Allah, the nearness to Allah. Awareness of Allah. Awareness of Allah. The body should shake whilst going near to sin. You about to swear, body shakes. Why are you backbiting at somebody? Oh, he's not watching me. Oh, he's this. Look at him. Look at his teeth. Look at his face. Look at his wrinkles. Look at this. He's not in front of you, is he? But Allah is there, isn't he? Subhanallah. So will you backbite again? Yes. He said this. She said this. And Umar is not here. Amir al-Mu'min is there. What are you worried about? She said, daughter. Amir al-Mu'min is there. He said, he's not there, but Allah is there, isn't he? This is ta'alluq ma Allah. Connection, awareness of Allah. If you are aware of Allah, she said, no, I don't know. I'm not interested. Backbiting. He said that, oh, but Allah is watching me. I'm backbiting, slandering, envious of somebody. I'm showing off, pretense. I think I'm something bigger. Another point, that Allah is closer to you than the jugular vein. What does this mean? This doesn't mean that Allah is there physically in the... What is Allah saying here? Allah says that whatever you're thinking inside, even that I'm aware of, my son. Allah says, my creation. It's not a police inspector or superintendent who'll see you in front of you and he say, oh my son, oh you, what are you doing? I see in your body. But Allah says, I know your thoughts, your heart, munafiqat, hypocrisy. I even know inside you what's there. So what do we need to be scared? Even inside of us, there should be no defect and darkness or blackness. Allah's looking inside me as well. Allahu Akbar. So will a person become a wali Allah? If tonight you can become wali Allah, if you understand this point. So take hold of the hand of a wali Allah, do tawbah, repent, take dhikr, and make your target. Allah is close to me, watching me, that's it. Is this correct what I'm saying? You understand the message? Should we do dhikr now, inshallah? Come on then. May Allah Ta'ala give me tawfiq as well and you tawfiq as well. That due to you sitting here, the few words that have come from me, Allah Ta'ala, give us all the tawfiq to practice this. And so we understand our lives. Time is very short. This is a big task. Now tell me if death comes to us, then how will we go? Think of yourselves. Mouth, death. To get to death without attaining this result, what will be our situation in the grave? What salah will save us? What ibadah will save us? What worship will save us? Tell me, what will we take with us? Everyone will pass through this, all thawab, rewards, everything you worship, everything will come. But tell me that these results are for those people who considered and were aware Allah is present. Not for thieves, these the rewards. They're not for thieves and deceitful people. How much time an insan has wasted in life. That's it, nothing else. Create a friendship with Allah. All your affairs assigned to Allah. Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel, ni'mal mawla wa ni'mal naseer. Everything, all the nations, the people, the when a person assigns his affairs to Allah, then he doesn't care about anything else after that. Every day people are surprised, what's happening here? This person, how is he living his life easily? He says, I don't know, so easy Allah has made my face. Just one child, you know what's happening at the moment? There was a small child, you know the challenges going on at the moment. He went out and they said, don't go out, there's bombs there dropping, don't go out. He said, no mother, I need to go, I need to get something. Just today these events, are just one event I'll share with you from all the events that are happening today. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. These are the scenes, the tests. Don't be scared. Don't be scared of loss in dunya. This is where Allah says, I'm close to you. This is where Allah Ta'ala is watching. Just hide. How much can you hide, subhanallah? How much can you hide from Allah? This is the meaning physically in the dunya. Allah says, that create the connection with Allah. That Allah says, you should be prepared and ready. That for the sake of Allah, for the path of Allah, that we are going to be presented in front of Allah, we have to pass away and go to Allah. Are we not going to go to Allah? Tell me. So the child says, no mother, I need something, I've got to go out. He went, and the bombs are dropping. There's bombs, the bomb dropped, and the child was gone. And mother, she was mad. She said, my son's gone. He's just in front of me, the bombs dropped. Where will he come back to me? And the dream, she sees him, the mother. In Jannah, he's wandering around. Paradise. He says to mother, mother, so unique situation happened to me that I was coming back home with that thing and the house disappeared and I came into paradise. Subhanallah. She said, you in paradise? He says, yes, mum. Wallahi. Thus, I was just coming home. What I needed, but the house disappeared and suddenly I came into paradise. And Jannah is so beautiful, brilliant place, mum. It's amazing things here. It's not small thing. Everything's spread out. All the toys are in front of me. She said, tell me then. This is a true story. I'm sharing you today's story. And she said, just tell me one thing. He said, yes. That, oh, you must have a lot of pain that we are watching. This is what happens when you see the loss, destruction, pain. You must have felt pain, she asked. He said, mother, pain? I felt no pain. Just like, you know, like a little ant bites you, just a small little bite of an ant, after that, no pain at all. Nothing, I didn't even realize. وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانِ. Create the connection with Allah. How long will we be scared? Dunya. We're scared of the dunya. Spare, have fear of Allah for a few days, see how much success will come. You're afraid of hunger and poverty and difficult circumstances and environment, society, we do wrong actions. If only we're scared of Allah, then everything of ours would fall into place. Everything would happen. nicely. The deceit would go, the lying would go, the food would go, haram would go. Yes? Because inside everything would be clean, inshallah. Just create this condition and emotion. وَآخُرُ دَوَنَا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَلَمِينَ وَسَعِدُ الرُّسُلِ
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين شفيع المرسلين دعوة ياسين الحبيب الأمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وذرياته وأهل بيته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وسلم تسليما دائما أبدا كثيرا كثيرا اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وسلمنا وأصلحنا اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار إنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا عذاب الميزان ادخلنا جنة معنا ولا عشاء عزيز الله رب العالمين يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلبي على دينك ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم صلِّ على الإمام وعمد على الإمام وعشن وجام القيامة اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك المستغيث يا قاضي الحاجات اقضى حاجاتنا يا دافي المنيات ادفع ملاياتنا يا شافي الأمراض اشف أمراضنا يا رحم الرحيم يا كرم الرحيم فضل السماوات مصغير وكبير كن حما فرما دي يا الله تم سب کی بخش فرما دے يا الله تم ہمارے تمام کو اپنا مقصد حل کرنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما اے میرے مولا ہمیں گناہوں سے بچا دے یا اللہ بدعت سے بچا لے یا اللہ ظلمات سے بچا لے یا اللہ تو اپنا فضل و کرم خاص نصیب فرما اے میرے مولا تو دنیا میں امن پھیلا دے یا اللہ دنیا میں امن کا گہوارہ بنا دے یا اللہ لڑائیوں کو جنگوں سے میرے مولا ہم سب کو محفوظ فرما یا اللہ بلاؤں سے مصیبتوں سے پریشانیوں سے آفتوں سے یا اللہ ہم سب کی حفاظت فرما یا اللہ ہر قسم کی مصیبتوں کو ہر قسم کی پریشانیوں سے ہر قسم کی آفات سے میرے مولا ہم سب کی حفاظت فرما یا اللہ ہم سب کی حفاظت فرما یا اللہ ہم سب کی حفاظت فرما یا اللہ عالم اسلام پہ رحم فرما امت پہ رحم فرما میرے مولا امت پہ رحم فرما یا اللہ امت پہ رحم فرما یا اللہ امت پہ رحم فرما جن جن لوگوں نے دعاؤں کے لیے کہا میرے مولا ان کے حق میں سب کے دعاؤں کو قبول فرما مرحومین کی سب کی بخشش فرما وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه نور عرشه زينة فرشه وعلى صحبه اجمعين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين آمين.